Branding started with religions. Just think about it. The most powerful brands in the world are actually religions. And religions were created thousands of years ago. And they managed it. They are strong brands of religions, and they've actually been able to segment the world and create groups of followers for themselves. Very, very successful. So to me, the origin of brands is actually from religions, more than branding cattle, which is what we speak about.
Marketing is dead. Long live marketing. My name is Atul Nath, and you're listening to the Control Alt Delete Reboot Marketing Podcast, a toolkit podcast for anyone who is looking to connect with tomorrow's customers and build tomorrow's brands. Doing business today is like being tossed around in a food processor. To stay relevant in this manic world and be future forward, I personally believe that we've got to hit reboot on marketing as a whole. Throughout this podcast series, I'm going to be talking to some of the best marketing brains in India. Well, actually, they are some of the best marketing brains in the world. And over a period of time and multiple episodes, the idea is to develop a toolkit for marketing and for communication that resonates with tomorrow's customers and energizes tomorrow's brands. Thanks a lot for tuning into my podcast. Hope you enjoy this. And if you do, please do hit subscribe wherever you get your podcast from. Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, or whichever platform you prefer. I'm privileged to have the guest I have today with me because he is one of the key reasons I chose a career in marketing communication 25 years ago. So I owe him really big. I have Madhukar Sabnavis with me. Welcome to my podcast, Madhukar, and thanks so much for chatting with me.
Thanks, Atul. I'm delighted to be with you.
Madhukar is the Vice Chairman and Director Client Relations at Ogilvy. He is a true thoroughbred of the advertising and marketing communication business, not only in India, but the world over. He has been deeply involved in building some of the biggest brands in India. But in my opinion, a far greater contribution of his is the number of people he has nurtured and grown for the industry over the years. That is a truly unparalleled contribution. Madhukar, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Let's talk. How did you get into marketing and marketing communication in the beginning?
Frankly, I got in by accident. After I finished my post-graduation at IIM Ahmedabad, I actually had dreams of going abroad and do a PhD or something in the US. But I wanted to do a job that did not have a lot of sales related to it, because I wanted to be in one base camp, and advertising offered me that opportunity, and that's how I got into advertising. Because I was told at that time that if you get into marketing, you have to spend the first couple of years in sales.
That was the way it was for a long time.
Which was not something that I wanted to do. That's how I got into advertising. I didn't know how long I would last in it. In fact, if you ask my classmates at IIM, they would have thought me to the most wrong person in advertising. Even I would have agreed with that. I thought it was going to be a two-year sojourn, and then I would be leaving the country. Really? But well, it became 35 years.
Wow. So. How much change do you think is really happening in marketing and communication? Let me try and talk about as recently as the last 5 to 10 years. How much change is really happening, or is it really overhyped? What?
Yeah, Atul, I think marketing and advertising has changed a lot in the last 35 years. It's not just about the digital revolution and the data revolution that people talk about. But if I was to talk about India as a market, India market has changed quite dramatically. You know, the first 5 years, 6 years that I was in this business was actually a build-up phase to the opening up of the economy in 1991.
Right.
From 1991 to 2011-12, I think was a golden era for marketing and advertising.
Okay.
New categories, new brands,
right.
New industries, global Indian companies, local companies, everybody fighting for a share of the pie in the Indian market. It allowed us to do lots and lots of interesting work.
And this period you were talking about was?
1991 to 2012, the first two decades.
So 20 years, wow.
It was 20 years, because 1991 to 2000 was actually the opening up of the economy.
Sure.
A lot of new things coming in. And 2000 to 2011-12 was actually the growth part.
Right.
The middle class, the upper middle class was there waiting to lap up every product and service. Since 2012, the markets have become a lot more challenging. We've moved from a pure penetration game to actually to try and drive consumption, try and drive brand switches, which is a much different challenge in the marketplace, a much different challenge.
Okay, so let's go a little deeper. Mm. And we were talking off air just now about, consumers and consumer behavior, data about consumers and so on. So how has this consuming public changed? And I mean, whichever reference point you want to take, you want to take the 90s as a reference point or the 2000s as a reference point. So how do you think the consumer's approach to brands and consuming has kind of developed? Yeah.
The first part is in pure behavior, penetration in many, many categories have become almost 100%.
Right.
So everybody has now experienced many, many products. That's right. The first part. The second part is exposure has increased very, very dramatically. The consumer's awareness of products, product features, brands has widened hugely per se, which has actually made consumers a lot more discerning and a lot more demanding from brands. So it's very funny, in 1991 or 1992, if you were to ask me, brand equal trust.
Right.
You just had a brand and consumers trusted quality. Today, brand doesn't equal to trust. In fact, the demands from brands is much higher than sometimes it's even fair to ask for, but that's the truth of the matter. Mm-hmm. So that has come because the consumers have evolved to become more discerning, more demanding. Mm-hmm. So that's the second big change that has taken place. The third change that has taken place is the fact that there has been a second and third generation consumers coming in. Mm-hmm. And this second and third generation consumers have become, I won't say cynical, but have become a little more careful in evaluating both marketing and advertising messages. They become a lot more
testing.
Would you say? Yeah, right? Yeah, a lot more testing. So I wouldn't say that 20 years ago people were gullible. People were excited to take in new things. Mm-hmm. Now the newness has worn off.
Yeah,
per se.
You know, so, we were chatting. I was chatting on an earlier episode with Dev Amritesh. He used to be at Mondelez. I'm sure you've kind of interacted
and
with
Domino's.
Him at some point. And Domino's, of course, right? So, and he had a very interesting take on the same thing that he felt that. Obviously, when 91 happened, and it was that first set of consumers, exactly the same as you're saying, were just waiting for brands to come in, right? We were so deprived as a general, as a country, because we knew a little bit about brands, but not enough. But it's now very different because that deprivation, the new consumer is not deprived at all. So that's exactly aligned with what you're kind of saying.
Absolutely, Atul. It's quite interesting. If you go back to that, in 1991, I said there was a praying consumer. A consumer was praying for things.
Right.
I think 91 to 2011-12, it became a playing consumer. It allowed the consumer to play brands against each other.
Okay.
I'm now a little worried whether consumers are getting more and more disinterested about things around them now. Mm. Because many things are taken for granted. They're no longer fun playing along. You just take what you feel is the best for you at a given point of time and get on with life, per se. So engaging with consumers today is much more difficult. Again, going back to the second and third generation consumers, they have less time for brands and brand messaging.
What does that mean for marketing? So, I keep saying this, that marketing is dead and long live marketing, because I really do think that there's a reboot for marketing as a whole required. It's the world is a very different place now. Maybe we see it that way because we've seen yesteryear and we are seeing it now. Maybe the new marketer doesn't see it like that because he only sees the new world. Yeah. But having said that, do you think there is, in that sense, a certain amount of a reboot required?
Yeah,
or how would you approach
that? I think
that?
There are two things here. First, it is a tougher marketplace to get sales today. For me, the purpose of marketing is ultimately, and brand building is about generating sales. I think it is tougher. So at one level, I empathize with today's marketer who has a bigger struggle to get sales than in the past. 10, 15 years ago, it was easier. That's the first part. The second part, which I'd like to tell people, is there has to be greater belief in the power of marketing and branding. And for that, I think the task for marketing is to evangelize that more within their organizations, especially within their finance departments.
That's interesting.
Because I think the power of the brand is still very, very strong. I think branding, I am a believer in branding. I think brands associated with emotions are always here to stay. They have been there for centuries. That's we have not true. Recognized them in the form of brands. Mm-hmm. But they've been there for centuries and they'll continue to be there for me. But we'll have to, the reboot would be to rekindle belief within ourselves and in the larger ecosystem in which we operate. You know, the normal story about where branding started from mm-hmm. is about cattle branding. I'm mm-hmm. sure you've mm-hmm. heard about that.
Sure.
According to me, that's not the true origin of branding.
Right.
Branding started with religions. Just think about it.
Interesting.
The most powerful brands in the world are actually mm-hmm. religions. Mm-hmm. And religions were created thousands of years ago. And they managed it. They are strong brands of religions, and they've actually been able to segment the world and create groups of followers for themselves. Mm-hmm. Very, very successful. Mm-hmm. So to me, the origin of brands is actually from religions, more than branding
cattle,
which is what we speak about.
Right.
And if we were to take that, and that has been there for centuries, there's no reason to believe that branding as a discipline is going to disappear in the future. But the important part is to re-believe in it and to build that belief in the larger ecosystem. So that would be the second big challenge, I think, that marketing will face. So two parts. One is that I think today it is a lot more challenging to get those incremental volumes on the back of brand building efforts.
Sure.
But to make that happen, I truly believe, you know, both marketers need to believe in the power of brand. And brands are, it can't be ultimately belief systems rather than anything else. Mm. There's no other way you can get conviction on it.
Mm.
And
I'm going to go back to what you were talking about evangelizing the importance of marketing and brands within an organization now. There is a school of thought which... Mm. Kind of downplays the importance of that, you know, very finance-driven companies,
yes.
Which, because the value of brands very often is hard to tangibilize. Who do you think holds responsibility for that evangelizing? Is it a advertising/communication partner? Is it the CEO? Is it, who do you think kind of needs to lead that evangelizing? Because...
Tough one, Atul, as you ask. I would like to put the onus on the CMOs.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to put it on the CMOs. And the starting point is that they should believe in it and not get defensive about it. Because I do find that in many places, when so much of editorial stuff is spread around or content that goes around saying that CMOs need to justify themselves.
Correct.
That puts them on the back foot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's putting them on the back foot because they don't have the belief deep down within themselves, per se. So perhaps I would put it, perhaps it's the responsibility of the CMOs. Putting it on the communication partners or the brand building partners can only support or aid the process.
I understand that,
anybody about it, whether it is a research agency, whether it is a creative agency, a media agency, or anybody, I think we can at best give support. But the core, because the person's, the money comes from clients, and the person in charge of the brand in a client organization is CMO.
Yeah,
I would ideally like to feel that CEOs need to start believing in it. But if you were to ask me the question, who convinces the CEO, makes the CEO aware,
the CMO,
it has to, has to be the CMO.
Yeah. But what's very interesting is, and you know, we work with several clients as well, I found a mixed bag. You know, I found a lot of CFOs who believe in marketing. And, you know, I find that very interesting because it's very easy for CEOs and CMOs to believe in finance and importance of profit and P&L because, I mean, that's a no-brainer. Businesses exist to make money, so to speak. But I found a lot of CFOs have a great, belief in brand building and marketing, some of them. And I find those organizations very well balanced in that sense.
That's fair. Maybe we need to evangelize those kind of organizations. But when I gave religion as an example, it's a way of opening everybody's eyes to say that how have religions existed for so many thousands of years? How have they built cahoots of consumers? And how have they built so much of loyalty? Think about it. And if one was to just think about it, they'd have done a series of activities that made keeps religions relevant even today,
sure,
based on strong consumer insights. Okay, so if you can, if religions can do it,
and despite a lot of challenges,
despite challenge,
you know,
yes,
their built-in challenges, competitive challenges,
absolutely,
of religions and so on, they've
absolutely
managed to,
they've managed to do. Then,
and changes in CEOs,
yeah,
in that sense.
So,
over the
so
years,
why can't that belief be,
yeah,
there? And that's
sure
where it should start. So I would agree also what you were saying, that ultimately brand is a belief.
Mm.
Either you believe in it or not, you mm don't believe in it. So that belief can be done, and that's where the analogy of religions, in my mind, still holds.
See, the other thing that I keep reading a lot and hearing about is this importance of brands having a purpose.
Mm.
You know, keep reading about how millennials and the new consumers connect with brands which have that purpose. Mm. And I have discussed this in the podcast before, and I want to get your opinion on it since you've worked with so many different brands.
Mm.
How important do you think it is for a brand to have a purpose above and beyond product category, if I can call it that?
I think purpose is a natural evolution from propositions that we all learned in business school about brands.
Mm-hmm.
So to that extent, I think, yes, it's the next level of evolution once you believe in the concept of a brand,
mm-hmm,
to move from proposition to purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to my religion analogy, all religions were built on a larger purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So to that extent, again, it fits
right
in to
right
say that brands with purpose will connect at a deeper level,
sure,
with consumers. If you find the right purpose and you are able to evangelize the right purpose. I think, so my belief, yes, that's certainly a direction of brand thinking and also about brand existence. But at the core, in a world today in business where we are living quarter to quarter, the bigger need,
yeah,
according to me, is not about evangelizing brand purpose. But maybe we are in a state where we have to first evangelize the belief about the importance of brands and supporting brands through thick and thin. Sometimes I believe when people pull out the plug on brand building activities,
mm-hmm,
at the slightest show of a dip in short-term results, I think they are harming themselves. The first is, yes, I think purpose is the evolution of brands. I think it does have a role, and brands that have taken up purposes have been able to engage with their end consumers in a deeper way,
sure,
and have also got benefits out of it.
Yeah.
But simultaneously, I think if you ask me, the bigger challenge today as we sit in close to 2020 is actually reaffirming the value of brands, because you find the purpose is done by people who already believe in brands.
Right.
But I still believe there are a large number of businesses who sell products out in the marketplace with a very superficial belief
in brands.
I would still give it a benefit of doubt.
Right.
I don't think it's coming from there. It's coming from the fact that very often there is a general belief in many non-traditional marketing organizations that brand building is an expense rather than an investment. It starts from there.
Mm.
So when you...
So that's a belief issue. Straight.
It's a belief issue.
Yeah.
It is a belief issue. So you find, and you look at the last 10 years, you'll see people who'll communicate for 2 years and 3 years,
right,
and then completely go off air for 3 years. And you ask them, why do you do it for 2-3 years and not do it for 3 years? They say, oh, those years I had money, I did it. Now I don't have money, I don't do it. So I do sometimes tell clients,
sure,
that if you're not able to sustain stuff for 5 years, don't start it. Simple.
Right.
It's better not to do anything rather than do something for 1 year and then get out of it.
Because
so
that
start
money
the
might
processes.
Get wasted. Then.
It just gets wasted.
Yeah.
You might as well keep the money and keep your bottom line going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the push will always work. If you believe, and so it comes back to a belief system. If you believe in a brand, you need to do it. So I don't think it is because of the changing consumer.
Got it.
Yes.
Got it.
For those who believe in brand, mm-hmm, also, yes, these challenges are coming up based on consumer indifference to what marketers are doing. And that's where, going back to the question that you asked, I think purpose helps to re-engage with consumers sometimes. Getting the right purpose, doing it in the right way, helps to re-engage the consumer in even today's day and age. So that's the stream. So there are believers and the non-believers. For the believers, the purpose is the next level of engaging with consumers.
Right.
For the non-believers, which I still believe is quite a large group of them, it is about reaffirming the power of brand. And that comes back to saying investment versus expense.
Got it.
Where it is.
Okay, so let's delve a little deeper. How would you say their approach to marketing and building brands has changed in the last, let's say, 5 to 10 years?
One bit you touched upon, Atul. Many are considering moving from propositions to purposes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That has happened for sure.
Sure.
That's one part. Second part is they have changed in getting open to saying there is long-term and short-term. So there is the long-term brand building, which in Ogilvy parlance, we say platform.
Okay.
Communication, building a brand at a platform level. Mm-hmm. But there are also the short-term, which we call program and pulse.
Mm-hmm.
Activities
mm-hmm.
that generate sales, activities mm-hmm. that actually exploit tactical events mm-hmm. to become opportunistic, mm-hmm. that kind of communication. So the marketers are thinking in three horizons, long-term, maybe short-term and immediate, that kind of stuff in actually developing marketing activities. The interesting part of the ecosystem of media to reach consumers allows us to do that.
Right.
That has happened.
Right.
The other bit that has changed is, yeah, marketers are realizing that being opportunistic is a good idea, per se. You don't need to have everything put down on plans. When I started in advertising, we used to do annual plans and largely stuck to the annual plans.
Right.
Over a period of time, we've discovered that there might be opportunities that pop up here and there.
During the year.
During the year. Exploit it. Mm-hmm. Do things around it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've also discovered today that in such competitive categories, salience is
right.
as important as differentiation.
Right. Right.
So while your long-term activities help in building differentiation, you've just got to keep yourself salient with this indifferent
top
consumer,
of
that
kind of
top
thing,
of mind
know?
Of stuff. Mm. And that kind of thing can be done opportunistically.
Mm.
Of course, the fact that, yeah, in the last 5 years, multiple media has
yep.
evolved,
yes.
the digital media has evolved, marketers are experimenting and trying yes. to learn about what works in new media.
Sure.
Fortunately, traditional media, especially television, has codified it scientifically
right.
from the 90s
right.
very well.
Right.
You had your rating systems, you had your tracking systems,
mm-hmm.
which meant so.
Mm-hmm.
New media has still not cracked the formula for it, but that will happen sooner than later, but that's being done.
And that's the end of the first part of my chat with Madhukar Sabnavis. Do tune in for the second part. All you have to do is subscribe to the Control Alt Delete Reboot Marketing Podcast on your platform of choice. See you next time. And